Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Over a century ago, the first gauntlets were thrown down. Men fought for pride and glory. Blood was spilt. Reputations were carved from sweat. The battles have continued for decades. An eternal struggle with a thirst for victory always. And to think, this is all over a little ball shaped like an egg. Welcome back. You've never heard the footy like it. This is Triple M Footy.
Yeah. How good to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Women in League Round, Round 22. We get to spend 3 hours with you, and what a week in rugby league it has been. I am sitting next, of course, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler. Wendell Saylor is crook today. I hope you get you feel better, big fella. But, gee, it gives me a thrill to look across the table right here, right now. There's a man who every Tuesday night at Fox Sports, our paths cross as we're preparing to do back page. He's about to go on NRL 360. He always comes in with a smile that lights up the room. How good is this man? Josh Reynolds, welcome to the show.
Gee, mate, thanks for that. A thrill. Honestly, give me a thrill, though.
Well, then why don't you get him on your show, Tony?
He's on another show at the same time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Same time?
Yeah. Well, no, not the same time. An hour earlier. Okay. An hour earlier. And with Louis, of course, is there as well.
Yeah, they do a fantastic job, don't they, the boys? Yeah. It's really good watching.
Can I just, before we get into all the stuff that's going on, just an update with you. You've had the season crueled by injury. I know that shoulder, you had, I don't know, something drilling into a nerve before you went and got that fixed as well. Where are you at?
Yeah, so I had surgery 2 weeks ago, and I'm already out of the sling, which is good. Yeah. I'm pretty happy with how it feels at the moment. It has been a terrible year for me. I've never really had a season where I've missed so many games. I've had a fair few surgeries, but they've all been in the off season, and I've been able to come back. But I've sort of had a different outlook on everything too. You know, it's because I haven't played so much. I've been able to just realize, you know, how much I really do probably enjoy the game. Yeah. You know, it's just you go into training. You're on the bike. Everyone's outside. It's actually a bit hard to find purpose, and I've sort of had to find other things to keep my mind amused. Annoy you at Fox and yep. Try and get as many gigs as I can, but in the end, I'm going to do a fair few things in the off season to make sure I'm ready to go next year and just get back into the week to week grind. You know, when you're in it's you're like, oh, this is so hard, but when you're outside, you're like, I need that back. It's like it's a thrill.
The club has brought in pretty smart with their buys mid-season. Obviously, Robbie's a big personality, and your old mate Moses must be good to reunite. But in relation to Robbie, have you noticed an impact before he came back to the club and now that he's there? You've seen many changes?
Yeah, definitely. I think having someone like Robbie in the team, it just adds a whole other dimension to the team. Yeah, he's so smart. He's been around for a long time and knows the game. Even just, you know, I think I only got to play maybe one game actually with Robbie, but just that training, he just takes a lot of pressure off the halves because he's such a potent player himself, and you just know how much he means to the club as well. You know, from the fans' perspective, they love having him back, and yeah, it's been great. And I know him and the likes of Benji and Brooksy are hopefully going to lead the boys, and hopefully we can just scrape in the eight.
As you said, it's Women in League Round. We are about to get into the big stories of the week, which, of course, is the sacking of from Penrith of Anthony Griffin. Ivan Cleary spoke this morning. We're going to play that for you in just one moment. Before I do that, as we said, Women in League Round, which is terrific. I love watching last night. The Roosters had the name, each player had the name of woman who obviously has had such an impact on them over the years. If you had to get your jersey out and put a name on the front for Women in League, who would it have been?
Yeah, definitely. I haven't got a girlfriend or a wife, so it's definitely none of that. But definitely my mum. She's been the one who's sort of helped me through a lot of the times. Even this year, she's been great. You know, she sort of tries to take my mind off things, and yeah, she's definitely been my rock through the times, mate.
You've had that because you've said several times when I've spoken to you on those Tuesday evenings when all this is going on, you've become quite philosophical about it. You know, it's meant to be, so that's how I deal with it.
Yeah, definitely. I probably only sort of had that look at the last couple of years. Because I haven't had, you know, a bad period like this, I probably haven't had to think about it too much. But I sort of, if you get drawn into the whole, it's just me and I'm having bad luck, and I feel it's 10 times worse. So, you know, I feel, you know, good things can come from bad things. So I'm just going to, you know, keep rolling with the punches. And, you know, I know as a footballer what I can do. You know, people are saying, you know, this and that about why to be buying this and that. Don't get me wrong, I hear that. But I know as a person, I'm going to do everything I can to get back out there and produce some, hopefully, my best footy.
All right. Of course, it would be with the Tigers, who plenty of players would have been kind of looking around and wondering what's happening with their coach, Ivan Cleary, over the past few days. Hoops, I would imagine. He's dressed out. Before you give us, kind of fill us in on what's been going on this week, let's have a listen to what Ivan Cleary had to say. He called a press conference this morning. People gathered at 9:45. There it was on the telly. Here is what he had to say.
When I was approached by the Panthers, initially I had no idea it was about coaching their club. I was told at that meeting that the club were looking at the future of the head coaching position. I advised the Panthers of my ongoing contract status with the West Tigers. I subsequently advised the chair and CEO of the West Tigers of the discussions I had had with the Panthers. I was as surprised as anyone on the announcement of the dismissal of Anthony Griffin. I have not received any offer from the Panthers, nor have I asked the West Tigers for a release. I am enjoying my contribution at this club. The club is growing nicely. Everyone associated with this club should be proud of the direction it is heading in. It is common knowledge that my son, Nathan, and I have acknowledged our desire to work together at some time. That remains the case.
Ivan Cleary this morning. Now, he prefaced that entire statement by saying, I'll make the statement and I won't be taking any questions on that issue. I needed answers. I need closure on that anecdote, because suddenly, you know, I still don't know. That raises questions. There are certainly answers in there, but it raises questions. What did you make of it, James Hooper?
Well, Tone, I hope for their members and their fans that it's awesome news. I hope Ivan's still on the bus. That's certainly the question that everyone's been asking over the course of the last 3 or 4 days. Look, came out of left field. The Penrith Panthers decided that they would have a conversation with Ivan. I don't think anybody thought that it could possibly be about next year, given that he's contracted for the next 2 seasons. But funny things happen in rugby league. What happened this morning? Look, I hope, again, for the West Tigers members and the fans, that he's committed. He looked as though he was. The thing with Ivan Cleary, he's a real statesman of the game. What you see is what you get. Josh, you're coached by him at the moment. I'm sure that you can vouch that if he asks you to do something, or if he tells you that he is going to do something, he's a man of his word. So I think we've got to take him on what he said this morning, Tone. Sure. But I've got to say, I did have a couple of little question marks and asterisks about the fact that he only wanted to read off the prepared statement, like you, and that he didn't want to take questions.
Yeah, it was interesting. Look, we're going to get deeper. Just before we go to a quick break, Josh Reynolds, what was the atmosphere within the Tigers? I know you've been in rehab, so maybe not amongst the group all the time, but there's certainly got to be kind of whisperings and, what's happening, how's it been?
Yeah, no, you're right. Like, I'd be lying if I come here and said, nah, the boys weren't, you know, talking about it. But I think it was more of the fact that, like, everyone really loves Ivan at the club, honestly. What he sort of created this year and what we've all brought into, we probably just didn't want that to end. Yep. And, you know, we're all sort of saying, like, it's probably what if he did leave? But in the end, you know, I think from the very, very start, you've got to probably take your hat off to the West Tigers as a club. They sort of said, you know, he's not leaving, and in the end, he's not leaving, and it sort of shows the direction the club is probably heading in. You know, in the past, they may have, you know, been pushed around or whatsoever by so-called bigger clubs, but I love that they took, you know, it's not that they took a stand. No one, Ivan sort of come out and said he actually didn't get an offer, so. But in the end, I'm happy he's staying, and I'm sure the rest of the team, the supporters, and the whole West Tigers is happy he's staying too.
All right, let's dig deep next. We'll hear from Anthony Griffin, what he had to say earlier in the week, and, of course, from Phil Gould himself. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it for our mates at Iveco. Yes, no lies, which is exactly what's happened all week in rugby league. No lies whatsoever. 100% truthen. That's what's been going on. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. Josh Reynolds joins us on this Saturday. Dell is Crook. We, of course, have Gerds and Hoops. My name is Tony Squires. Right, before we get into that story, just a quick rundown for those of you who may not know what's happened in the world of rugby league so far. Thursday night footy, as a look at that Tyre Power scoreboard, the Broncos and the Cowboys. JT and the boys got it done 34-30. leaves the Broncos in a pretty tough position. On Friday Night Footy, of course, great game. The Roosters over South Sydney, 18-14. And the Warriors, they confirm their role, looking up, trying to get further up that ladder. They beat the Knights 20-4. All right, the Anthony Griffin, the Penrith saga. Will we start with a little bit of what Anthony Griffin had to say? It was a surprise, really, wasn't it, though, Hoops, before we get there. There they did once more. Penrith have a comeback, a huge comeback win. Then we hear on Tuesday that the coach has been sacked. Your first reaction, because there had been rumours going through rugby league for quite some time, hadn't there?
Yeah, the rumblings had been around all season, Tony. And so, look, to be perfectly frank, it didn't really shock, I don't think, too many people. Anthony Griffin, we didn't hear from him initially, and we only heard from Gus, and we only heard from some of the other senior figures out at Penrith. And so I think by the time it got to Wednesday, when we hadn't heard anything from the man himself, he decided that clearly he wanted to put his version of events out there. I think maybe that changed the perception of things a little bit. Personally, I think the truth, MG said it, Mark Geyer, during the week, the truth in terms of what's actually gone down out at Penrith probably lies somewhere in the middle between what Phil Gould's had to say and what Anthony Griffin's had to say over the course of the last 3 or 4 days. But, yeah, look, it was massive news, Tony. It was massive, massive news.
All right, let's trot you through exactly what happened. Let's hear from Anthony Griffin. Of course, he did appear on NRL 360 on Wednesday evening. A lot of eyes on that interview. He spent a long time with the boys. This was when he was talking about Gus Gould himself and their relationship.
Yeah, he's a very powerful man if you're going to be subservient to him. You know, he needs to be in control. I don't know, I'm not involved in board meetings, but I can tell you that he runs the club. I'm proud of what I did there. If that's old school, I'll take old school any day. Gus hasn't coached for 20 years. If there's anyone old school in the conversation, if I'm in the conversation about being old school, he'd need to be there as well.
Reacting, of course, to the idea that his coaching method, old school, was one of the reasons that they had to part company.
Yeah, look, it's a they haven't. The fact of the matter is, from a Panthers and their supporters, they haven't struck a blow since round 12. They beat
the Dragons.
Yeah. Yep. Then after that, any other top eight side that they've played, they've basically been annihilated by. They had a good win against the Warriors without some of their key players who were sort of away from Origin, but they've had some opportunities. They've won a couple of games against lesser opposition in the last couple of weeks, coming back in the dying stages. And people can say, oh, there's Origin, there's excuses. Well, I think South Sydney had some players in the Origin. I think the Roosters had some players in the Origin. I also think the Melbourne Storm had some players in the Origin. There's no excuses as to why they're performing the way that they are, if you want to look at, you know, testings and different things like that. So I question the timing of it, to be honest, Tony. I thought at some point it was going to happen, because I've heard the rumblings over the last 12 months as well. And I'll be honest, I've never been a fan of the way that he coaches. I didn't like the way that they exited in the finals last year. And I thought that this year at times they really struggle with parts of their game that it sort of hasn't been acknowledged. Their set pieces are probably one of the worst in the competition. They're a really good side in transition, coming out of their own end, because they're big and powerful. But when they get up there with set pieces, they've been better this year with Jimmy Maloney. But I still don't think that some of the details in their game are where the other clubs are. And so, look, it's really poor administration from Penrith. If you're going to be upset as a Penrith fan, well, this is what I'm upset as a Penrith fan, the fact that, you know, it's going to cost, you know, $1.5 million.
Yep.
Because last year, for some reason, he was signed for a 2-year extension, which makes no sense to me at all.
That's the thing that jumps out at me. Why, if there was a history of some kind of difficulty, and if Phil Gould and the club knew that, why was his tenure extended?
It was a loose carry, Tony. It was a wrong call from Gus. He, as Anthony Griffin touched on, he's the kingpin of the club. And I think the way it's been explained to me from other people in positions of power at the Penrith club, I think that they thought, if we give Anthony another couple of seasons and some job security, then we're giving him every possible opportunity to absolutely achieve optimum success. You go back to last year, Gerds, the start of last season, a lot of people were tipping Penrith to win the competition.
Yep.
And you got to say, on where they ultimately finished, disappointing. Mm. This season, not so much expectation, but still one of the best rosters in the competition. So I think the Panthers were backed into a corner. It was clearly a wrong call to decide to extend his tenure by an additional 2 seasons. Even back then, there were rumblings. I speak to a lot of the players. I speak to a lot of other people out at clubs. And yep. there were even rumblings back then, Tony, that just his style and look, I like Anthony Griffin, all my dealings with him. He was always straight up and down. He was a man of his word. What you see is what you got. But I can understand why players, especially modern generation younger blokes, might have found it a little bit different trying to relate to him.
Just going back to something you said, Gerds, about Penrith as a team. Just say you play Penrith this week and you come up in the video. I think that's one of their best assets, that they don't have too much structure. You need a little bit of structure, but I know when I watch them, they just play footy and they back themselves. At times, they might have to, you know, rely on a bit of structure. In those tight games, you maybe got to stick to a bit of structure. But in the sense of, if you're a Penrith fan watching, I think they play some really good footy.
If you have a look at the way that they attack when you get into that opposition 20 or 30, you know, it's the hardest place to attack, because now you've got a fullback making 13 men and the teams don't generally use the kick because it's a risk of going out for a 7-tackle set. You don't know all about that. You played under Desi. But but what they really struggle with is, yeah, just coming up, you've got a tap and you've got 13 guys standing in front of you. You can't just rely on eyes up football to try and break down. You need a bit of a plan, you know. You know that. You need something to fall back on if everything else is not going well. And I just think in those situations, time and time again this year, they look unprepared. And the other thing is, and this was really interesting in what you said in the opening part of the break, was you love Ivan Cleary as a player and you guys all want to go and play for him. And that's why you were really concerned that he might be leaving. I wonder if we had any Penrith players here, whether they'd say the same thing about Anthony Griffin.
Well, Anthony Griffin clearly wanted to defend himself. And I thought during his interview, he carried himself very well. He wasn't over emotive at all. He considered every answer. He took his time. At one point here, and you can imagine it, you want to defend yourself in your role in what you've done. Now, he went down the path, and I think it seems to me ill-advised, of saying that basically the pathways in the junior development at Penrith wasn't going well. It was shambolic before he arrived. Here's what he had to say.
From my point of view, and Gus actually rang me and warned me, he said, when you come down here, it's not going to look anything like what you're used to. And he was on the money. They were struggling. They had a lot of juniors, but no systems. You know, the structures, the training ethics, the attention to detail on the skill acquisition, all of those things, from the senior side down, the senior side, you know, were in terrible shape physically and mentally.
Well, I know there's a lot of people at West that take great offence to that.
Yep.
You know, and if
was
you look...
Was that good?
Well, because if you look at some of the results, in 2014, yeah, with a pretty average roster, they almost made the grand final. Yes, they overachieved. They struggled in 2015, but in the last six, when we had the under-20s premiership, in the last six competitions, the Penrith 20s made the grand final three times. They won it twice. If you look at any of the juniors in the SG Ball and the Flag and the Mats results, they speak for themselves in relation to... I know they've got a big pool out there, but I think that's a tough statement on, you know, not just Gus, but on the whole organisation and who I think... What about the academy that they've put together out there? Like, I mean, that was all done before Anthony Griffin came along. So the fact that statements like that where, you know, people are just sitting on their hands out in the West, I don't know, I think that's a bit of a stretch, to be honest.
There's a view that it is Anthony Griffin's best strength is, you look at his track record.
Certainly and contributed
up at the
Broncos, in many ways.
In the under-20s.
Absolutely.
And that is his best strength, is identifying juniors and putting pathways in place. But I'm with you. I thought it was a kick in the guts at Ivan Cleary, because he was the coach who was moved on prior to Anthony Griffin arriving. And you go back to that season that you touched on, 2014, they beat the Roosters in week one of the finals. It was a massive upset and were 80 minutes away from a grand final with a fairly average roster. Then the following season, injuries and other things conspired against them.
And I think
them.
That year they might have won the under-20s.
Right. Yeah, so look, I'm with you. I thought that I understand Anthony wanting to defend his position, but I thought perhaps he might have been able to choose things a little bit differently.
Still plenty to chew through. It is, of course, this afternoon. The Titans will take on the Panthers. It'll be so interesting to see how they react to what's happening with Cameron Seraldo, the new coach at the helm this afternoon. He, of course, I don't know, he's done lots of stuff, including, I think he was third in the 2006 Men of League
The sexiest man in league.
Who was?
Was he?
Yes, Cameron Serrano.
You've done your homework.
Was he? Yeah. Well, he's an Italian. He's the Italian stallion.
Yeah, Matty Cooper might have won that year.
Did he? He's hard to beat Coops.
Yeah. Hey? He sure is. We're going to get you the perspective from Gus Gould very shortly. He appeared on The Footy Show on Thursday evening. We'll hear from that. If you want to jump on board, 133353 is our number. You might be a Panthers fan. You might be a Tigers fan celebrating the fact that your coach is still there. Give us a call. Get involved on Saturday Triple M NRL. Josh Reynolds, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you on this Saturday afternoon. It is Women in League Round. We'll chat with Sammy Bremner a little later in the show. Sterlo will join us at 2:30, begin that preview of the game, the Titans and the Panthers. As we said, the first game for the Panthers under the new coach after Anthony Griffin was shown the door on Tuesday. Fairly acrimonious circumstances. Adam has called 133353. G'day, Adam.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, good. What are your thoughts?
I think Phil Gould should resign. He's been there, it's supposed to be a 5-year plan, it's now in 6 years. He's going to cost the money, like when he went there, they were in turmoil with their salary cap and stuff like that. He may have fixed that, but now his debacle of getting rid of Cleary, paying him out, now getting rid of Hook, paying him out, and now they want to get Cleary back. It's just costing the club millions of dollars for his decisions. And I just think that he should be the one to resign. It's his stuff up. Fall on your sword.
And well, I read today in the Sydney Morning Herald that he signed a 5-year extension on that contract. So I don't think that Phil Gould is going anywhere quickly. As you mentioned, though, the administration of it has been a little bit...
it's been poor. Yeah. And I don't think anyone will deny that. The other thing is that Gus has obviously got to come up with another coach who wants to come in and work underneath him. And you know, and there'd only, I think, Heaps, if you have a think about, you know, who's available and who's coming through, that would put quite a limitation on the amount of applicants that the Penrith side have. I mean, who would you think as a senior coach would be open to coming in and working under Gus?
Well, if it's not going to be Ivan, which I've got to be brutally honest, I thought it was going to be.
Yep.
We hadn't heard from Ivan until today, but all the talk behind the scenes was that he was really torn, and he's been vocal about the fact that he wants to coach while his son is playing for a particular side, whether that be the West Tigers, whether that be the Penrith Panthers. Those two want to work together. But if Ivan's not available, I think it's Wayne Bennett. I think it's Wayne. I think Wayne's available. You look at the news cycle again over the course of the last 48 hours, he and the CEO up at the Broncos, Paul White, are off. There's very minimal communication. Wayne, I think Tony was quoted as saying it's professional, and that, in inverted commas.
And that came out, like, what, 2 days ago, didn't it? The fact that they're not talking anymore.
Came out the night that Gus was on The Footy Show with you.
What timing.
Talking about Penrith.
So. What timing.
If Gus Gould butted heads with Anthony Griffin, how is he not going to butt heads with Wayne Bennett? Aren't they just as huge personalities?
They are. They're bigger. But I think the difference is Wayne Bennett being Wayne Bennett. He's won 7 comps, Tone. I think if Wayne comes into a club, Wayne says to whoever's in charge, similar to what he did when he came in at Your Mighty Red V and St George Illawarra, he told Peter Doust, okay, Dousty, you stick to Crownies in the dressing room and hanging out with the board. Mm-hmm. I'll coach the side.
They're in a window at the moment, the Panthers, and they need someone. And if they've got the right people around in Serrato and Wallace doing a lot of the attack and the defence, and they just need someone to come in there and man-manage and get the best out of these players for a couple of years and win a premiership, why wouldn't Wayne work?
Maybe Tom has the answer. He's giving us a call as well. G'day, Tom.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Yeah, good. What do you think?
Mate, why doesn't Gus coach? Like, we've heard him around 20 years since he last coached, and even Hook said the other night that he was always sort of around the guys, tipping off ideas and that, and it seems like he wants to coach, but he doesn't want the title. I mean, what do you think, Gert?
Yeah, oh, look, I think he's obviously got a lot of media commitments, and I think he loves the administration side of the business. I think he loves the numbers and the salary cap and managing all different elements of what the Panthers club, what it takes to be a successful club, not just a coach. So I think we'll see a lot more of him in the last few weeks and then into the finals. I think he'll be there on hand to help those guys out, and we'll have a big influence. But I think I don't think he'd be interested in the full time role.
Yeah, I think that is the case. But certainly he said that he won't let Cameron Serraldo...
Well, he can't now.
Yeah.
He certainly can't. And he's got a lot to... You know, I've played under Gus.
Yeah.
And he knows how to get the best out of his players.
What's he like as a coach?
Mate, I only had him for about a year and a half. He got me to Penrith. He's really. I never worked him out. He used to ring me sometimes at midnight and say the night before a game, and I was living in Wollongong and say,
"Girdles."
He was two hours away from going
to bed. Yeah, Gus. Yeah. He'd say, "You ready for tomorrow?" And I'd say, "Yeah, mate. Yep, ready to go." And he'd go, "I'll see you at 2:30." You know, like, and he'd hang up. And some days he'd make me even just, you know, for the fun of it, he knew I was travelling from Wollongong to Penrith because I was still living at home at mum and dad's. I was 19 years old. And he'd say, "Okay, boys, everyone come up tomorrow. We're going to have a meeting." And then, so I'd drive, you know, like an hour and a half to get there. We'd come in and he'd just give us like a 20-minute chat on our day off and say, "Okay, everyone go home." And then I'd have to drive home for an hour and a half. I was like, I used to drive home just with steam coming out of me. You know?
Did Johnny Lang or Royce Simmons used to ring you at those weird hours?
No, they didn't. They didn't, you know.
Dirk has given us a call as well. G'day, mate.
Yes, hello. Look, I'm a Tigers supporter.
Yep.
And I've watched the last week unfold, and I've just been appalled by the behaviour of Phil Gould and the Penrith club. And if there's any karma in this world, we'll see Nathan Cleary break his contract and join us either next year or join us on his own terms the following year. That's my desire. And yep. I hope karma comes upon Phil Gould and his club. What I've observed is just the most appalling level of ethics and behaviour, and I hope karma comes upon them.
I think that is, see, that's the thing, that they've been dragged in, haven't they, the Tigers? Suddenly, yeah. Nothing, that was, you know, whistling, everything's going lovely, then suddenly they're slap bang in the middle of the storm.
Just quickly, Dirk, what about me and Brooksy, mate? In that scenario, what happens to us?
What's that?
Nah, I'm joking, mate. I was just saying, what about me and Brooksy if Nathan comes? One of us are gone.
Yeah, you're in trouble.
very good.
Thanks, Dirk. Thanks so much for your call. And Nick from beautiful North Sydney. G'day, Nick.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Yeah, good. What do you reckon?
Good. I wanted to know, why would they start him in round 22? Is the expectation that Serrato is going to win the apprenticeship this year? Or is Griffin that bad that they had to get rid of him this early?
I think the writing had been on the wall for a long time, Nick. We heard the rumblings as far back as February in the preseason. We knew that Gus Gould and Anthony Griffin had a pretty heated exchange in the tunnel at Belmore Oval before a trial game or during the middle of a trial game. The rumblings had continued from that point on. I think they sacked Anthony Griffin now because the power brokers at the club, and specifically Phil Gould, believe that they can get a spike out of this playing group. I think that they have a view that they've been flat over the course of the last 8 weeks. Gerd's touched on earlier the fact since they beat St George Illawarra before the State of Origin period, they haven't really claimed a big scalp. So I think that's why they've done it, and I think that they believe this particular roster can go on a run leading into September.
That was the hardest thing I found to swallow, was the fact that, you know, when Gus came out and said that he felt the need to let Hook go because they'd spoken to Ivan, he was concerned it was going to come out of the media. For mine, that was a bit of a stretch too far. I would have much rather, if they decided to go a different way, just kind of do it and come out and...
Exactly, because his statement that he didn't think that the media storm that would then surround him would be any good for the coach, so the coach has to go. If we now know, as we've heard from Ivan Cleary this morning, you know, he was never going to come to the Panthers. The media storm wasn't really there. Why wouldn't they just let him go through to the end of the year and, you know, cop whatever? Yep. If there's any rumours, that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter.
I'll tell you what, Tone, I think Ivan, the fact that he didn't speak until today, Josh, I think just underlines the fact that he really seriously considered it. Obviously, it came out of left field. It was unexpected. I don't think that Ivan certainly didn't go into it anticipating that the Penrith Panthers were going to approach him in this fashion. He was moved on from there. Going back to 2015, Phil Gould decided that he was tired and he needed a rest, and so therefore they parted company. But I think that it came out of left field for Ivan, but there's no doubt he seriously entertained it.
All right, look, plenty of other callers we couldn't get to, but we will jump back into the story later in the day. We will hear, we haven't heard from Gus Gould, but we will play you that as well. We also want to talk about some of the great footy that was played, certainly last night, the Roosters in South Sydney. That's next, Saturday, Triple M NRL. Josh Reynolds, James Hooper, Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires with you on this Saturday afternoon. Let's look at some footy. That Tyre Power scoreboard tells me that the Roosters got the job done. The top of the table clash with South Sydney, 18 points to 14. In front of a good crowd at ANZ, I would love to have seen 40,000.
Yeah. Maybe they would have got that at Allianz. They might have packed Allianz.
They may well have. May well have.
But it was a great contest, wasn't it? And even though the Roosters won, I just thought Tom Burgess was just the best player on the field.
Enormous.
He was unbelievable last night. It was a great game, and I think the difference in the Roosters and their defence, I think, is evidence for the fact the confidence they've shown in their outside backs. They've really struggled over the last couple of years with those combinations out there with Ferguson and Manu and Latrell Mitchell and Tupu. But I just thought last night the faith that he's shown and the development in these guys coming through now, they're such a good defensive unit. They're so hard to break down.
Yeah, Cooper Cronk obviously was instrumental as well, wasn't he? Without Luke Keary being there, he played both sides and important.
Yeah, he definitely steered the ship.
Yeah,
Ryan Madison, obviously a second rower playing in the six, was defending well, probably just doing his job, running every now and again. But Cooper Cronk definitely stepped up last night. I actually thought South would have rolled the Roosters last night, but as Gerz says, like, the Roosters' defence is unbelievable. And their attack at the moment, because their centres are so potent, you can just see they're just trying to get them one-on-one with the centre. And everyone, like, Latrell's been unbelievable this year, but Manu, honestly, last night, he was
How quick is he?
Honestly, because he's...
And strong.
Yeah. I think because he's in the same team as Latrell, he probably doesn't get all the accolades he should. You put him in any other team, he's one of the best centres probably just behind Latrell, and they're going to be hard to stop, the Roosters. I honestly think with Keary back, he just adds another whole dimension to their attack. And
I mean, the South fans will say, and rightly so, there was no Inglis, no Graham, no Johnston, who went off after two minutes and no Jennings. So their back five are going to change dramatically. And I thought Braden Burns and the guys that filled in did a pretty good job. But at the big end of town, when you're coming up against the best, you need to have your full squad available. And I think with their full squad available, what they do is then they just become a little bit more potent on those edges, where last night, because they play that style where they were given momentum through the middle of the field, the Burgess boys, were brilliant in the way that they got on their front, and did what they do best. And then, Cook was getting out from dummy half. But then the variation they have to their game, South Sydney, is when they get down in that attacking zone, their halves then start really, straightening up and squaring the defence. Yeah. And then they play all those little shapes out the back, and it's really creative and they're so good at it. They lost that last night. And it's a big part of their game just because they had so many new changes and combinations. And all of a sudden, Gagai goes to fullback, and I'm sure he hasn't done a lot of work there. And a fullback's so important. You see, Alex Johnston and how many times he's set up outside supports over the last couple of months, setting up tries and things, and their scrum plays. That left edge is the best attacking side in the competition of the field, but it wasn't together last night. So they'll get better.
No doubt about it. It definitely detracted the fact that Alex Johnston wasn't there. I just love the ferocity of the contest. It had a real semi-final September atmosphere. You touched on the Burgess brothers. Jared Waerea-Hargreaves and Victor Radley. I just love him. He's only a young bloke and he punches above his weight and he plays right in the valley of death. He loves it. He really loves the hard stuff, Tone.
Anthony Seibold wasn't unhappy. You said, the commitment was obviously there. They were intense. It was fantastic. Obviously, as you say, some of the, getting the job done at the right moment. People like Sam Burgess, who just gives and gives and gives. He had a couple of mistakes in him last night.
Yeah.
But you can't blame him because he still just pushes through, doesn't he?
He reminds me a little bit of Victor Radley is Cam Murray.
Yes.
I tell you what, he plays above his weight. He screams out of the line. He's got a really good offload in him. Those two guys, especially, they've come into the game now where the 13s traditionally sort of over the last 5 years played like an 8 or a 10. But they're not big enough for that. So they're actually changing a little bit in the way that the 13 plays, which, Josh, I think is great for the game.
Oh, it's so good to watch. But the little men doing their thing. And it's just there's something about him, isn't there? He doesn't just sit in the line and defend. He's coming out of the line all the time, Victor Radley. And it's so good to watch. And it's just even that game last night, like you said, it's so good for the NRL in general to have that rivalry. I love that. You could just tell every tackle, especially the Roosters, there was something about it. Waerea Hargreaves was every time the kickers got the ball, he was making sure they were on the floor. And
Russell,
so good to watch.
Russell Crowe didn't miss, did he? Because he actually helped set that up again this week. The whole book of feud things, the whole saying that the Roosters lack soul. I've always lacked soul. You could just see those guys. They wanted to dig
if
in.
If Penrith don't
they?
Make the grand final, I hope it's those two sides. Wouldn't that be something special?
We've seen that over the past couple of weeks. We saw Melbourne and South Sydney as well. Now we've seen the Roosters and South Sydney. Those three teams, which seem to be just a little bit better than the others, where have you got them now? Put them in order, Ryan Girdler.
Oh, well, look, I still probably, I think South and the Roosters probably are just a smudge ahead of Melbourne at the moment, because I think the way that I'm not sure if Melbourne have got the arsenal to handle South Sydney through the middle. Like, we saw them get blown apart and blow a 10-point lead last week, Melbourne. You don't see that too often. On their day, sure, but at their best, I've got those two sides we saw last night just a little bit ahead above Melbourne, and then everyone just sort of falls in behind that.
One thing about last night's game too was the Roosters' ability to... Damien Cook didn't have a bad game in any sense, but you watch last week, he blew Melbourne to bits.
Yeah.
And they've obviously had a massive emphasis on every time he's looking to go for a dummy half scoop, they were going at him.
Yep.
So I think if teams can do that with South, it nullifies so much, because he's honestly at the moment unbelievable. So the Burgess boys get him a quick play ball. He goes, he gets a quick play ball. As you said, Gerds, the half square up at the line, and it's nearly unstoppable if they're on song.
Yep.
But if you can sort of stop it from the core, from where it starts at Cookie, I think that's the way to probably beat South.
What about their back row next year, the Roosters? What about that battle last night between Cordner and Crichton?
Yes.
Crichton's come back from Origin, one of just the form players of the competition, Hoops. He was enormous last night.
He's immense, but what made me laugh in the lead-up to last night's game, Sonny Bill, and the talk that maybe Sonny Bill could possibly be coming back to the Roosters at some point. Where are they going to fit him? Like, seriously, you look at their back row. They've got Victor Radley, Boyd Cordner, Angus Crichton. Where's Sonny Bill? Yeah. He can't... I don't know how you fit him into that. You would find a spot, but...
Decent bench player, Sonny Bill.
Oh, yeah. It's a terrific position for them to be in.
Did this come out of the dinner that they had during the week that Sonny Bill was invited to?
Yeah, look, there has been a lot of talk, hasn't there, Tone, about the fact that, you know, Sonny Bill is not closing the door on a possible return to the Sydney Roosters. Look, I couldn't see Sonny Bill coming back and playing for an entire season. I think at his age and all the success that he's had as a player in both codes, rugby league and rugby union, I'm not sure that he could come back and go through 30 weeks of that absolute slaughter grind, Josh. But I do think that he could come in around the June, July, August mark. When you're about halfway through the year and about to spike into the finals, and I think you could have a hell of an influence.
Yeah, indeed, it will be good. All right, this is Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it for Iveco. Visit your local Iveco dealer to check out the special edition 888 Race Engineering inspired daily light truck. Best of the best feuds, that's next. The Panthers have been in the news front and centre all week. Controversial circumstances right now. You bet your home for NRL betting in 2018. Head to youbet.com or download the YouBet app today. Remember, gamble responsibly. Jared Daffy joins us right now. G'day, Daff.
Hello, Tony.
So what has this meant with all that talk, all the brouhaha stroke and broglio that's going on? What do the punters think about how it'll affect the Panthers this afternoon?
Well, it's been a strange old week because Tuesday, all of the money was with the Panthers. They're currently $1.41 and the Titans are $3, by the way. But in the last 24 hours or so, although they're the $3 outsiders, we're seeing a fair bit of support for the Titans, probably because of that stat that's floating around the last eight coaches that have been sacked in the NRL. There's only two of the teams that have won the next match. So that gives the Titans some hope, I suppose. The line there is 7.5 points. And the game total, it's a pretty high number. It's over and under 46.5 points, but the money's with the over there as well. So it looks like the punters think there's going to be plenty of points on offer today.
Hey, Daff, it's been an interesting week, obviously, with the Panthers, but also with two of the big guns going at it on Friday night. Have we seen any movement in the premiership betting?
Yeah, we have, Gerge. I guess the Panthers was the interesting one. They were $11 before Griffin got shown the door. They've been $11 afterwards, and as we say each and every week, nobody wants to be on the Panthers, and that's been the case this week. We've got a new favourite after last night. The Roosters are into $3.25 now. Melbourne at $4. Obviously, they've got a game to come. South are now the third favourites at $4.25. Then the Panthers at $11, the Dragons $12, Cronulla $17, Warriors $21, but again, there's no takers for them, and the Broncos out to $26 now.
What about the first try scorer, Daff, for the Titans and the Panthers this afternoon?
Well, Hoops, they want three players here. There's several players under $21, but the two that they want from Penrith, Josh Mansour and Dallin Watin Zalesniak, they're both at $9. So they're two of the three favourites, Crichton, the other favourite at $9, but not so much interest in him. And Anthony Don, he's the shortest of the Titans players, $10, and he's the one that's attracting the business there.
All right, as ever, thank you so much, Mr. Jared Daffy. You bet your home for NRL season 2018. Download the You Bet app today. Remember, gamble responsibly. The Roosters, that start to the season, all the talk, it wasn't working. I remember seeing...
Well, it wasn't.
That wasn't working.
But it wasn't. But
I remember seeing James Tedesco, Cooper Cronk, Luke Keary, that about life in Bondi Junction, having what they describe, you know, under their breath as a crisis meeting. Early on, you know, what can we do? Suddenly, and Cooper Cronk was saying, yeah, but you can't go out like the Dragons. You know, it's the back end of the year, you've got to be performing, and they are.
Mm.
Damn them to hell. They are. Time for this.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Thanks to Mongrel Boots, built for you in mind. Ultra comfort for the hardest of days. Are we calling Phil Gould, Anthony Griffin, can we put that as a full-blown feud?
Oh, that's full-blown, Tone. That's gloves off. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was no holds barred, that one, during the week. Yeah,
I love it.
Anthony Griffin had his say. Gus retaliated.
Rugby league does love a feud.
Oh, I don't know what.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have the energy to maintain a feud, nor the power, nor the interest from another party. But still, you know, if anybody put the Dukes up, I would run. Mm. But others do love the feud. So I thought for the best of the best, we might just see if you can come up with the best. The best feuds going around. Will I start with Josh Reynolds?
Yeah, well, I couldn't think of too many, mate, but I just thought of one for myself.
Okay.
I've grown up over the years, obviously, and obviously knew I was in the wrong, but over my career, I had a bit of a feud with the NRL judiciary. So me versus the NRL, I feel I was hardly done by early in my career a lot of the time.
Were you?
Probably not. Let's face it, but hey, we asked for a feud and here we go.
You did used to casually love throwing a leg out sometimes.
Yeah. Like I said, I've grown up. I've owned up to a lot of things, but back in the day, I used to think I was innocent.
Running technique.
I like it. Hoops.
There's so many, Tone.
Yeah.
Look, Gordon Tallis and Wayne Bennett, I think,
is
a terrific one. I think Russell Crowe and George Piggins have buried the hatchet these days after the Bunnies won the title, but that was very heated at one point. One that kicked off earlier this year, or was re-emphasised again earlier this year, Chock Watmo and Daly Cherry Evans.
Oh, yes.
That's pretty bitter out of the Manly Seagulls. Our man who's not here today, the dual international, Big Wendell, him and Mad Dog used to have some pretty good banter together. I think
that
was more of a friendly feud than an actual full-on feud.
They did.
It was good fun. And last but not least, I'll say Gordy and Brian Smith.
Gordy and Brian Smith?
Yeah, I don't think Coach Smith's on Gordy's Christmas card list.
Okay, all right.
I'll go with a recent one, which is Robbie Farah and Jason Taylor. That was juicy a couple of years ago.
Yeah, okay.
One from, I think, probably around the, might have been the 80s or the 90s, with Bozo and Billy, when Bozo was going to run Billy Harrigan over with a cement truck.
I wonder why referees are still cropping.
And the only other one, which is a little bit of, I don't think it's a feud, but it's been of interest this year, is Smith and Kronk. But let's not put that on the feud.
Well, you just did. Don't have a bet each way.
Well, you put Mad Dog and Wendell in one.
Yeah, and that was a friendly one. I declared that.
Okay.
You've thrown that out there, and then you've tried to hop back on the fence. Is it a feud or not?
I wouldn't call it a feud.
I think it is a feud.
You think it's a feud? You think it's a feud?
The body language between them last time.
Just because they're not mates, does that make it a feud?
Oh, well,
you'd be having a million feuds if that was the case.
Thousands. Given everything that they've done together and everything that they've won together, I thought that was pretty icy.
All right, there's plenty to get to in the next couple of hours. Peter Sterling will join us at 2:30. We are, given it is the Women in League round, we'll speak to Sammy Bremner as well. We'll have some of What Does the Fox Say? And, of course, Billy Slater, he's announced his retirement. We'll have a chat about that here, hear from him as well. So much ahead for us on Saturday, Triple M NRL. Thanks to Iveco.